As Andrew said, page 639, Proverb 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to your path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your ears to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the street, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Our next reading is from the book of Corinthians, and it can be found on page 1148. Page 1148. I will be reading chapter 7, verses 1 to 9. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widow, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Leanna, thank you for reading that for us. That's brilliant. I'm going to say a prayer as we begin, and then we're going to spend some time looking at the Old Testament passage, Proverbs 5, so maybe you'd like to turn back to that so you can have it in front of you. That'll be helpful for you and helpful for me, page 639. But as we begin, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are a speaking God. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit now to listen to what you're saying to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple were having relationship problems, and eventually it got to the point of needing to see a therapist. And so they went to the therapist and they sat there, and for about an hour, they basically just moaned and complained about each other. And it got to the point where the therapist stood up and he looked at the husband and he said, "Look, this is what your wife needs." And he went to the wife and he kissed her on the lips, full on the lips, for about 3 seconds. And the wife sat there stunned. And then the therapist said to the husband, "That's what your wife needs, 3 times a week. And the husband sat there for a moment or two. He said, "All right, I can bring her to you on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays." We live in a culture where sex is everywhere, and our sexuality is a very important part of who we are. But if we're honest, sex and relationships can be quite a painful part of our lives. We here today will have all kinds of experiences and backgrounds. Some of us will be happily married. Some of us perhaps unhappily. Some of us are bereaved or divorced or same-sex attracted or happily single or unhappily single. What help can God give us with sex and relationships? Well, the Bible tells us that God is good and that he's made us and that he's made us to be sexual people. And the Bible says that God has made sex for marriage and for family. We're looking at the moment at Proverbs chapters 1 to 9. And Proverbs tells us that marriage is part of the wisdom with which God has made the whole world. Do you know that when the Queen was crowned, 95% of babies in our country were born to parents who were married to each other? And when the Queen died recently, that number had changed to just under 50% of babies being born to married parents. Now, that's a huge change in our society over 70 years, 95% to under 50. Our culture is drifting more and more from marriage, drifting from God's wisdom. The numbers tell us that if you grow up with your mum and dad who were married, it's better for you in almost every possible way. It's better for your physical health. It's better for your mental health. It's better for your behavior. It's better for your wealth, for your education, for how likely it is that you'll end up in prison. Almost everything. God has knitted marriage into how the world works. Now, that's hard for many of us to hear. We're all sinners, and we're all sexual sinners. We've all mistreated God's gift of sex in different ways. So as we start this morning, it's important that we remind ourselves of the gospel. Colossians chapter 2 says this up on the screen. It says, "All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ." Christ came as our Savior. He paid in death and blood to pay for the sins of all his people. And if we turn from sin to him, we find treasure. We find forgiveness. We find help to change. We find eternal life. It's wonderful. Christ also came as our Lord. And he calls us to listen to his wisdom. He calls us to live a new way. He calls us from sin to purity. And my prayer for us this morning is that we'll listen to him and that we'll find God's help with sex and relationships. Proverbs 5 starts with a warning, and then it offers us something wonderfully positive instead. So here's the first part of the warning up on the screen. which is that sex outside marriage promises pleasure, but it brings death. And we're looking at verses 1 to 6. Have a look down, Proverbs 5. Let me read verse 1. A father is speaking to his son, and he says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight." Verse 3. "The lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, a disgusting liquid, sharp as a double-edged sword." The son is tempted to have sex with a woman that he's not married to, and her lips drip honey. Just imagine her soft red lips. There she is, she's smiling, she's flirting, she's flattering him. Maybe the two of them kiss. There's the promise of immense pleasure, but what seems sweet becomes bitter and disgusting. What seems soothing becomes deadly, like a razor-sharp sword. And the father is warning his son. And of course, it's a warning to women as well. We're all to take warning against those who would tempt us sexually. Verse 5, "Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not." So there is a path to life, a path that leads to heaven. But this woman doesn't think about that. She wanders anywhere. She's lost. Sex outside marriage promises pleasure, but it brings death. This film came out a few years ago. It's called About Time. Maybe you've seen it. And it stuck in my mind because when it came out, I read a review that was written by a Christian. And the Christian said that in many ways, it's a very good film. It's really funny. But then they added that the filmmaker, Richard Curtis, keeps on spreading the lie of the goodness of casual sex. And casual sex has been the source of misery to millions, especially those who, unlike Mr. Curtis, are not wealthy. And I thought that was so helpful. The TV lies to us all the time. We watch films and we watch sitcoms where we see beautiful people sleeping around, and they're successful, and they're happy, and they're rich, and they're having a great time, and it's all made up. And in reality, sexual sin leads to loneliness, heartache, a bad conscience, poverty, and ultimately being cut off from God. Sex outside marriage promises pleasure, but it brings death. Here's the second part of the warning. Sex outside marriage leads to costly waste. And we're looking at verses 7 to 14. Just look down with me at verses 7 and 8. The father speaks again. "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Don't go near the door of her house." Talking about the possible sexual partner that you're not married to. Proverbs says, stay away. And here's the reason, verse 9, "Lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil, your work, enrich another man's house." Proverbs is giving us a very striking reason not to sin sexually. It leads to terrible waste. You and I only have a few years on this earth. We only have a limited amount of energy in life. And when it comes to sex and relationships, we want to use that time and that energy wisely. We want to build up a marriage and build up a family, kind of like in the way that you would build up a business. You would protect it and you would put your effort into it. And if you sleep around or if you cheat on your spouse, the danger is you just waste your time and your energy and your money.
And verse 9, you give your years to one who is cruel, someone who doesn't really care about you. And verse 10, strangers feast on your wealth. You think about the person who gets divorced, and they lose half of all their money. And your kids end up calling some other guy dad. And the home that you spent years creating isn't yours anymore. And half the photos and half the mementos in your house are gone. And the garden that you planted or the decking that you painted is not yours anymore. You end up living in a bare flat. And perhaps also it speaks of the waste of getting a sexual disease. Think of the millions that the NHS spends every year on treating sexual diseases. And verse 11 paints a sad picture of old age. Verse 11, at the end of your life, you'll groan when your flesh and body are spent, and you'll say, how I hated discipline. Verse 13, I wouldn't listen. And Proverbs puts to us, will we listen? Will our children listen? I heard just a few weeks ago about a Christian friend who's damaged his marriage through sexual sin. I know him and his wife, and he's ruined his reputation, and he had Christian leadership responsibilities, which he's had to step down from, and he's discouraged many other Christians, and I'm praying for them. I pray that his wife forgives him. I pray that he will repent deeply. I'm praying that his marriage and his family go the distance. But I look down at Proverbs 5, and I think to myself, what a waste. And if we're wise, we'll let this warning sink in. Sex outside of marriage promises so much, but it leads to costly waste. And I wonder if you believe that. Some of us will find these verses very painful to hear. We'll think back to sins that we have committed in the past. Or we might realize that we're living in sin right now. And maybe you are not a Christian, or maybe you weren't a Christian at that time, or maybe you were, but you chose not to listen. Well, we all need to remember Christ. Think of that verse from earlier, up on screen again. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. If we turn from our sin to Him, then we find deep forgiveness. We find help to change. He offers a better future. A better future in this life and in eternity. And I wonder if you believe that. We're thinking about God's help with sex and relationships. We've seen the warning. And we now see something wonderfully positive instead. And we're told this, we're told to delight in sex with your spouse. And we're looking at verses 15 to 20. Now, you might be surprised to hear the Bible say that. A lot of people think that Christianity is anti-sex, but actually that's not true at all. In fact, the first command in the whole Bible is basically go and have sex. Genesis chapter 1 says, be fruitful and increase in number. God invented sex, and He gave sex as a gift to humankind. Sex is a wonderful gift to a husband and wife within marriage. And God wants married people to delight in sex. Just have a look down at verse 15. Proverbs says, drink water from your own cistern, your own water tank, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, this is picture language, and sex within marriage is being pictured like being thirsty and then delighting in a long, cool drink of water. Proverbs is saying, drink. Satisfy your thirst, your appetite, drink and drink. Don't share that intimacy with others, but instead rejoice in the wife of your youth. Verse 19, She is a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? It's saying, with all that pleasure within marriage and with all that danger outside of marriage, why wouldn't you listen to God? Delight in sex with your spouse.
There are some websites online that I like to look at from time to time that do made-up funny news stories. And I read this made-up article a few years ago. Here it is on screen. And the headline is, Christian couple hold off having sex for first 2 years of marriage. And it's a very funny, very clever way of making fun of Christians. And the article says, sometimes after dinner, the couple will kiss in the kitchen and start having bedroom thoughts. But then Darla sprays cool water onto her face and John eats an entire raw potato to put himself out of the mood. Now, I read that and I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was a brilliant way of poking fun at Christians. But I also thought, with Proverbs 5 and other passages in mind, that it's absolutely wrong. God wants us to completely delight in sex within marriage. He wants us to give full expression to our sexual desire. And that's good, and it's right, and it's healthy. Having regular sex in marriage is an important way of serving each other. Our other Bible reading from 1 Corinthians 7 makes that clear. The husband has a duty to provide sex to his wife, and likewise the wife for her husband. We're not to deny one another within marriage. The Christian writer Christopher Ashe warns that a lack of sex within marriage is often a real problem. And we need to hear Proverbs' encouragements to delight in sex within marriage. Life can often be very tiring when you're married. Work, caring for children, other things can make life tiring. But it's important to keep making time for sex. Tired sex is good sex, we ought to say to each other. Someone once said that sex is like golf. Even when it's bad, it's good. Now, perhaps you're married, and sadly, there are problems for you in your sex life. If that's true for you, I'm sorry. That can often be very painful. Please don't suffer in silence. Why not speak to a friend? Or there's this book that you could read up on screen. It's called One Flesh. It's a Christian book. You can find it on Amazon. It's full of very helpful advice. When we get older, it's natural that energy and sexual desire gets less. That's normal. And we can look for other ways to be close to each other within marriage. Now, verses like this can be very hard if we're not married, and we'd love to be. Well, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Jesus was single all throughout his life, and he knows all the difficulties that that brings, but Jesus knew deep peace inside. Jesus wasn't lacking anything. And Jesus calls us to find deep relationship with him and with the church family. And we want to be a church family that loves and serves those of us who are single. We're seeing God's help for sex and relationships. We've seen a negative warning. We've seen a wonderful positive. And as Proverbs 5 ends, it ends with a challenge. And it asks us this: will we follow the Lord's path? I'm looking at verses 21 to 23. Will we follow the Lord's path? Verse 21, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold them fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly.
Proverbs is always asking us, will we listen to the Lord's wisdom? Our ways are in full view of the Lord. He knows all of our thoughts. He sees all of our actions. He knows all of our words, everything. Isn't that something? That's quite a thought. And the Lord offers us a path of wisdom. There is a straight path that leads all the way to eternal life. If we turn from our sin and we come to Jesus, we find forgiveness and we start out on that path. And the Holy Spirit then helps us live a wise life, treating Jesus as Lord. That's the Lord's path. But if we reject that path, then verse 22, we'll get stuck in the cords of our sin. Imagine you're on holiday. It's in a foreign country, and there's thick jungle roundabouts. And you go for a walk. The sun is beating down. You can hear parrots squawking. And you realize that it's time to get back to the hotel, but you're not quite sure which way. And so you ask somebody, and they say, oh, it's actually very simple to get back to the hotel. You just have to follow this path. But stay on the path, because it's very easy to get lost. And you look and you see the path, and there it is. It's straight and it's well made, and it's easy to walk along. And then you look to the sides of the path, and you realize that as soon as you left that path, you'd immediately be in the thick jungle. Huge trees, great thick bushes, creepers and vines, and the ground looks boggy. It even looks like quicksand. And if you're wise, you'll stay on the path. Even if you see some delicious-looking fruits, just 10 meters off the path. Stay on the path. We need to say to ourselves and to each other and to our children. Proverbs 5 asks us, will we follow the Lord's path? Marriage is God's good gift to humankind, and marriage points to his much greater gift, the gospel. Jesus is the groom, and we are his bride. His people are the bride. Jesus came to die and rise to marry us, to save us. We're going to remember that now as we take communion. And if we turn from our sin, if we trust him as Savior, if we trust him as Lord, and that's the hard bit, then we can all be married, all of us. We can be married to him in paradise forever. This passage has wonderful truths. This passage has hard truths. Maybe you found it hard to listen to this morning. Maybe you're single or divorced or bereaved or same-sex attracted or married but unhappy. Jesus loves you. He calls you to listen to his wisdom. And he calls us to teach the next generation his wisdom. Let's pray that we'd listen. Lord Jesus, we pray to you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are good. We thank you for making us. We thank you for the gift of our sexuality. We thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for the wonderful gifts of that eternal marriage between you and your people. Lord Jesus, please help us to listen to your wisdom. We ask it for your glory. Amen.